As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, would you hear these words from Micah 6, verse 8? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Would you pray with me? And so, living God, we have come this day to worship you. We have come this day, O Lord, to lift up your name in a world in a week when our nation has been lifting up all kinds of names. We have come to remember again and to proclaim again that you, O God, are our God. You are the one seated on the throne, and you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our lives. You are worthy of our presence here in this place. And we are grateful. We are grateful that as we come together, you reveal yourself to us in a very special way. And so would you show your heart more and more in this place? Thank you that you have reminded us already of what it is that you long to see in us, your people. That we are those who do justice in this world where so much isn't right and isn't fair. That we love kindness in a world where there is so much unkindness. And that we walk humbly with you, O Lord, in a world where there is so much arrogance and so many people walking with so many others or just walking aimlessly. We walk with you. And so this morning, would you help our hearts grasp more and more of this beautiful invitation we have to be your people as we sing songs and lift up the name of you, our God. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. That's all I have to say about what I just witnessed so far. Amazing. Over the past several months, I've had the privilege of meeting with various members of your congregation. It was from those meetings that Pastor Jamie asked if I would be interested in preaching about our organization and how your church can play a significant role in the meeting the needs of our community. For the record, when a pastor asks you if you're willing to do something, you should feel a compelling need to say yes. I agreed to do it with her blessing and encouragement in the hopes that I could open your hearts and minds to take action and help stop homelessness. I know this may surprise some of you, but I did not set out to be a homeless service provider. I have a business background, as you were told, with an education in accounting. And earlier in my career, I spent time as an executive for several financial institutions in California. I loved working in my quiet office, spending hours filled with numbers and debits and credits, but something kept nagging at me. It was a small voice, and it could not be dismissed. When I made the decision to leave the finance world and start a new world in homeless services, many asked why. If I'm being totally honest, I've asked myself that same question many times, and not always in a soft, gentle tone. It's complicated, but let me tell you the reasons why. When I was a freshman in high school, we were asked to read Anne Frank, The Diary of a Young Girl. I knew about the Holocaust, but it seemed too far away from my 13-year-old self to have any real impact. Reading Anne's story, I realized how much she and I had in common, and I felt like she and I could have been friends. As I read further into the diary, so many questions kept coming up into my mind. Why did she have to hide? What did she do that was so bad she had to be kept in secret? Could that happen to me? How come only one person was helping her? How could God let this happen? By the end of the book, I was desperate to know what became of Anne and her family. I read as much as I could get my hands on to know their fate. My research permanently shifted the way I viewed the world and led me to the one truth that has held me to this day. If anyone in our community is made to feel that they do not matter and is treated as if their life has no meaning, I will do everything in my power to help them. Working with the homeless isn't pretty. It has shown me the worst in humanity, both from the people we serve and the people who publicly or privately condemn those who live on the streets. I've been accused of lying, manipulating the system for my own gain, putting children in danger, and this is the best one, driving buses filled with homeless people into the towns that I serve. Just for the record, I don't know how to drive a bus. Working in this industry can lead anyone to feel helpless and hopeless, but we persevere because we've seen miracles happen every day. New Horizon Communities was formed by people who lived in an encampment in Olympia and wanted a way out because they felt they deserved a better life. We had to move the encampment from downtown Olympia to another place, but we didn't have any property to move them to, so we asked for help. It was then that 10 faith-based congregations, including Muslims, Jews, Baptists, Catholics, and non-denominational churches, rallied around our residents for 6 years while we worked to get a site, prepare the site, and build 30 tiny homes. We are proud to say that the efforts of those faith-based groups led to what is now 3 villages with 95 homes, all in support of those who have the greatest need for housing and services. Who do we help? We help the chronically homeless, including homeless veterans. They are typically the ones you try and avoid when you see them on the streets. They're the ones that parents say their children aren't safe to be around, or the ones that citizens publicly accuse of selling drugs, screaming too loud, smelling bad, leaving trash everywhere, and defecating on the sidewalks. We've been told that we enable their bad behavior, and we are attracting more of them by offering services. The truth is, the chronically homeless people we serve experienced homelessness because they had a disabling condition, such as behavioral health, substance use disorder, or a physical disability. They represent an average of 20% of the total homeless population. The National Alliance to End Homelessness shows that the cost to leave a chronically homeless person on the streets is $31,000 per person per year. It's $31,000 per person per year to criminalize them, but it's only $15,000 a year to house them. Data from the UCSF study on homelessness found that 86% of participants housed through a permanent supportive housing program stayed housed, and more importantly, remained in their housing for many more years after the survey was completed. How do we help? All of our villages offer supportive services to the people we house. Shelton Veterans Village, for example, offers 30 units of housing for chronically homeless veterans, and each unit is about 144 square foot in size. Our team consists of 2 case managers, 1 program manager, and 1 behavioral health substance use disorder intern who work with our residents to stabilize them through behavioral health support, medical care, employment services, education assistance, credit repair, family unification, and much more. The residents pay rent and receive an additional support from housing vouchers. They are asked to participate in a plan that will stop the patterns that led them to become homeless. Why do we help? We help because the people we serve ended up on the streets because of a trauma so horrific that it altered the way their brains viewed the world. Brains are incredibly adaptive. As trauma unfolds, the brain changes to protect the individual. It takes what is an unbearable situation and makes it bearable. A child who is told they are worthless, stupid, and unlovable by someone they trust will live with a permanent scar. As they grow into an adult, those words continue to taunt them and remain imprinted in their brains. They try to numb it. They avoid talking about it. They try and beat it out of themselves or others. And sometimes they kill themselves to silence it. At New Horizon Communities, we give them a home. And with great patience and care, we try and help them realize that they are worthy of love, worthy of our help, worthy of a life, and worthy of our kindness. How can you help? Well, we've been talking about the possibility of setting up some pallet shelters in Mason County, but more specifically on your church property. Pallet shelters are just one way to offer short-term housing to those in tents. The last homeless count in January of 2024 showed that there were 424 individuals just in Mason County, and I guarantee you that number is going to go up in January. Any additional housing units we can add will make an impact on the numbers. Pallet shelters are a fast and efficient way to start showing the community that you're willing to support those in need. If you want to see research for yourself, go to the city of Everett or the city of Tacoma and see how churches like yours are making a difference. Why should churches help? Well, to start with, let's look at the Bible verses today that have some real standout statements. The first one is from Micah. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Notice that it does not say God wants you to stay home, be upset about what's going on, binge on chips and cookies, and make yourself feel better. God uses a lot of action words like act, love, and walk, and not one passive word. He's saying words straight out of Gloria Estefan's greatest dance anthem ever. Get on your feet. Get up and make it happen. Get on your feet, stand up, and take some action. That's all well and good, but how are we supposed to do this? God, I'm going to need you to be more specific. And God was ready with an answer. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I would add, I was unhoused, and you gave me a place to live. It's so important to understand that when you act to give support to those who are marginalized, poor, or considered worthless in this society, you are making a direct connection to Jesus. Just as a reminder, Jesus was hanging out with women, tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers, outcasts, and the most vulnerable people of his time. He led with love and compassion, not judgment and shame. He took the abuse and hatred of his community because he could not stay silent while others suffered. He took action. He held on to his faith. He stayed on the path of love. Love is what led me to do the work I do today. My life has been filled with tremendous highs and lows. The lows of losing my second oldest brother to brain cancer when he was 25 years old and feeling so angry at God that I turned away from the church. The highs of meeting a group of women on a weekend retreat who loved and encouraged me to come back to God when I was grieving the loss of my second oldest brother to suicide. The lows of being molested at a tender age and feeling invisible in my pain, or as an adult living in the shadow of domestic violence. The highs of being able to serve the church as a Eucharistic minister to give back to my family of supporters. My faith journey has reflected my life journey. All the highs and lows have been woven together and created the fabric of who I am today and who I hope to become tomorrow. My faith journey guides the job I proudly work on every day. I'm blessed to be surrounded by a team of individuals who are as devoted to making a difference in the world as I am. We have experienced feeling less than others, feeling judged with disapproval, or being traumatized by past events. We are doing what we can to show the world what love looks like in action and words. We are working to be a light in the darkness for those who are struggling to find their path. We are demonstrating to this community that everyone, even those we don't understand, those we judge, or those we fear, are worth our efforts to house them. What action will you take to help those with the greatest need to be loved? I know I can't change what happened to my dear friend, Anne Frank, all those years ago, but I hope that through my work, she can see how the words in her diary created a legacy of love and a pathway to kindness. I'm encouraged by the words of the prophets who came before me. Theologian John Wesley: love cannot be hid any more than light, and least of all when it shines forth in action, when you exercise yourselves in the labor of love. Or civil rights activist John Lewis: the journey begins with faith. Faith in the dignity and worth of every human being. The journey is sustained by persistence in the pressing of the justice of the course. And the journey is informed by hope. Hope that someday, in some way, our restless souls will bring heaven and earth together and God will wipe away every tear. I will leave you with a sobering thought for those of you who think that we're making way more out of this than needs to be made. During the time Anne Frank was alive, average Germans responded to the persecution of Jews in diverse ways. Large numbers went along passively with the exclusion of them from their workplaces and their isolation within schools and communities. Some citizens acted as informants by accusing the Jews of breaking the law or of being criminal in some way. The information provided was rarely based on fact and often based on rumor or suspicion. For many Germans, the livelihoods and well-being of their family were simply a much higher priority than a group that represented a tiny fraction of the population and who was constantly demonized as a dangerous threat. The lack of everyday citizens voicing concern and taking action when they felt something was wrong led to the murder of millions of innocent people. If you need to see more, just take a look at social media. Look at how people are talking about other human beings. I know the persecution of the homeless may not compare in any way to the persecution of the Jews in Nazi Germany, or the persecution of people of color in the United States. But it serves as a cautionary tale of what happens when too many of us accept the narrative and decide to do nothing. What if instead we follow the words of God and take action as we are called to do? And you may say to me, Colleen, what if we risk being ridiculed or harmed to stand up for what is right? I suggest you look at the cross as a reminder of what God was willing to do for you. I beg you not to lose faith or give up hope. Look around this church and see that you are never alone, and remember that our efforts are never in vain. We answer to a higher calling. For truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me. Amen.
Amen. You are in our midst. You are in our midst in this room and hearts that love you. And you're in our midst outside of these walls, in the midst of those who are struggling, and nobody is saying, I will take them in as my own. We hear your call. Would you give us the courage, the wisdom, the faithfulness, and the love of you and of neighbor to respond as you would have us respond? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.